This is the Friday, July 12th, 2019 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us once again is Tom Fitzenmaier. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tom, we've got to talk about what's going on in the cotton market this week. Bring us up to speed.
Well, you know, the cotton market was already sort of suffering from the trade conflicts between the U.S. and China. And then this week, our president came out and made some comments about our trade relations with India and threatened tariffs on there. And they were the other major users of our cotton. So that whacked it again. So we're back to trading cotton in the low 60s. I think there's pretty good support in that 60 to 61 cent range, assuming nothing else happens to disrupt our exports. And hopefully that will stabilize there and maybe can build from that. But cotton's really had a rough few weeks here.
They really have.
Basically on the trade. And a big part of our cotton is export demand. So when that starts getting messed with, it's really a problem.
Let's talk about some export demand that may potentially feel the impact here from this tropical storm Barry. Oil goes out through that port quite frequently. So does corn. I think I read something like 60% of our corn goes through that port in New Orleans or through those ports.
Yeah.
What are you expecting to see here with the tropical storm impacting especially those two commodities?
Well, this week they started abandoning and moving off the oil rigs down in the Gulf, and that supported oil in the middle of the week. Now, that sort of gets counterbalanced by the fact that we produce so much oil, and OPEC's been producing a little more than we thought they were going to. So there's a lot of oil in the world, and I don't expect the rallies to go very far, but certainly that's a supportive factor, at least until it Tropical Storm Barry is going to be a bit of a problem until that sort of gets worked through. In terms of the exports of corn, we're not shipping out that much corn now, and so interruptions, I think, are probably only going to have a minimal effect. The corn market's totally concentrated on supply, and I don't think they care that much at this point, all that much about exports.
Why have we seen such poor exports here, really, over the past couple of months in the corn market?
Our price of corn is substantially under Argentina had been. You know, they just wrapped up harvest, and now Brazil's just beginning to harvest again. Their prices are way under ours, and so, you know, we got trade issues anyway around the world, and then they've got a product for sale that's a lot cheaper. So I guess it kind of makes sense that U.S. exports are going to struggle.
Yes, they will struggle. Hopefully not for too long. Tom,
correct.
How far do you see this export struggle lasting?
I think it'll last at least until our harvest, because that Brazil, you know, their second safrina crop is the one that they export, and that's what's being harvested now. And those supplies are probably going to linger on and into early fall. And then we've got a window here where we're the primary supplier between, you know, the fall and whenever the next Argentine crop's available. So,
but will we still see a pickup in exports during that window if we see corn respond to some of these supply issues we're having domestically and shoot higher?
Well, that's going to be a potential problem. If we do shoot higher, as you say, it's going to make it difficult to be competitive, because there's a good chance that some of the European countries are going to produce corn too. Ukraine's been a big producer of corn. Russia's been improving in that regard. So I don't really know whether the heat that's affected their wheat crop is also adversely affecting their corn. That could be a bit of a supportive factor, but they've been exporters, and we're competing. You know, that's why I'm a little reluctant to people like to make analogies between now and what happened this spring and 20 years ago. Well, South America and these European countries weren't the competitors on the world market that they are today. So I'm not sure if those analogies are quite hold as well as they used to.
Okay, that's true. I never thought about that before. Tom, let's take a couple of social media questions here. We talked about this a little bit during the main show, but I want to make sure we work in Dave's question here from Madison, South Dakota. He said the corn market showed a bullish response to a bearish WASDE report. Is that a sign that this market is ready for another corn run?
Yeah, I think at the very bare minimum, you're probably going to make a run at that summer high at 473. I think we only closed like 15 cents below that on Friday, so we aren't that far away. Whether we can, and if we break out through that 73 and take that out, then I think there's a little run of, that we can make on up toward $5. Getting above that is going to take something more serious is going to have to go wrong, I think, or that August report is going to have some big bullish surprise in it to get us much beyond that. But yeah, that was a bearish report, but I don't think the bearishness of it was that big a surprise to most people that knew the methodology mm-hmm. on how that was put together. So I guess I minimized that to some small degree.
Tom, I want to also ask, technically it looks like we're putting in an interesting formation in the corn charts. We've got Jacob here in West Central Illinois that said, do we have a head and shoulders coming or do we break out above that?
Well, that's probably something we're going to find out in the next week or two. Before Thursday, basically, we kind of thought that's exactly where we were headed. Now, the rally we had Thursday and Friday has sort of muddied the waters in that. And if we were higher again Monday and Tuesday, then I think he's right that we're probably going to negate that head and shoulders.
Tom, I know most people hate speculation, but I'm asking you to do a little speculating for me today on that next the next August report we've got coming out. What do you think we're going to see for acreage numbers for corn?
You know, I don't really care all that much about planted acres. What I'm concerned about is harvested acres. And I think we're going to see harvested acres down around 80 million.
Wow.
And I also think we're going to end up with a carry out for new crop down in that 1.1 to 1.2 billion bushel range. Now, that's, you know, it depends on who you talk to. Maybe that's conservative, maybe it's not. But that's kind of what I'm looking for, given what we've heard about what's planted and how the crop looks and crop condition ratings and all that stuff. So that's kind of what we're looking for.
Let me ask you then, what are you looking for harvested acres as far as soybeans go?
I don't think we're all that. I mean, their planted acreage was 80, so I suppose a little bit under that. We tend to harvest a good percentage of what we plant in soybeans. I don't think prevent plant acres were quite as significant in soybeans. Certainly, the program was set up so that farmers were incentivized to plant beans. So I don't look for a number that far below 80.
Okay. Tom, let's wrap up discussions here with what's going on in the interest rates and then, of course, the U.S. dollar. We're speculated, or Jerome Powell has speculated they will not raise interest rates and may potentially cut interest rates at the end of this month. Does that signify to you a weakening U.S. dollar?
Yeah, I think there's an expectation that there's going to be, a month ago we were talking about a 50 basis point drop, and after his testimony and the way the markets reacted, the markets in general have reacted. I think now everybody's looking more like a 25 basis point drop. But, you know, what happens with the dollar is really dependent on if interest rate differentials between the U.S. interest rates and everybody else's. And you see a slight drop in the U.S. interest rates. The German Bund, for example, has been creeping up. Amazingly, it's a negative, but it's not as negative as it was 3 weeks ago. So you see those differentials start to change, and that's going to continue. I think that trend is probably going to continue and probably continue to put pressure on the dollar. And I don't see it falling apart, but I think the highs are in for a while, and we're probably going to continue to see a pullback, which is a good thing for our export, anybody's exporting anything out of the U.S.
Absolutely. Tom Fitzenmyer, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Lainey.
Join us again next week when we'll explore how one seafood company is using strong community ties to thrive. And Sean Hackett will join us at the Market to Market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.